our study in the book of Colossians tonight. Last week we talked about what friends are for, and that Christian friends should support one another unconditionally. In verses 7 through 9, we have friends that share common backgrounds, and that's why they are friends. Whereas one that was talked about, Tychius, his name means fortuitous or fortunate. Friends, we should be fortunate for the friends that we have. And if we are friends to someone else, we need to be helpers to them, and we need to be there when they need it. And so Tychius was fortuitous, and we saw all the times that he was one of Paul's companions. It was based on common goals. Their goal was is that people would get saved. Also, they were all fellow prisoners, and it's based on common ties. And we talked about Onesimus, which is the subject of the letter to Philemon, who also lived in Asia Minor. How Onesimus ran away from his master. And don't we all run away from God at some time? And then we come to our senses, find out what we're doing wrong, and receive Him as Savior. And it changes the direction of our life. Onesimus was running away from his master Philemon. And he winds up in prison. At the same time, Paul's there. You think that's a coincidence? No, that's providence. That's providence. And so Onesimus is witnessed to by Paul, and he gets saved and changes his life direction. And when he was a worthless runaway slave, he now becomes worthwhile to Paul in the ministry. And an encouragement so much that he's willing to ask Philemon to take him back. And folks, we need to reconcile one to another, especially if we are Christians. So friends share with one another. Friends accept one another. And the main name that was in this one is Aristarchus. Okay, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, if you consider where he went through. He was in Ephesus when there was a riot. He was in the other cities too. And he wound up being taken instead of Paul. And sometimes if things bad happen to us, I want no part of that. But he stuck with Paul. And that's what friends do. And then we talked about in past disagreements. We find out in this passage that John Mark greets them. And now John Mark is now with Paul again. The one who ran away. The one who caused great disagreement with Barnabas. So much that they went separate ways. And that was still God. Because Barnabas did good and Paul did good. And when we split, go different ways, doesn't necessarily mean we stay angry and are unuseful. It means that we just go a different path. And so it was an item of disagreement so that Barnabas and Paul split up. But still can be essential. And then the other thing is friends accept one another when other people that call themselves friends go away. So even when some have gone their own way, there are people that stick through this in the case of justice. Friends should pray for one another. The example was Epaphras, who is one of them, as we see Colossians chapter 1 verse 7. What is the extent to which we should pray? We've been studying about prayer. And folks, if you're not praying, there's something wrong. If you're not praying, you're not talking to God. If you're not praying, you won't see the power of God. Because how God's going to bless you unless you talk to Him? Okay? It needs to start with an understanding that there is a need. That's what we should pray for. And then it develops into a determination to continue in prayer. And we can go with this one. It says, in verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And then not only that, it's evident to those around us. He says, for I bear him record. Paul sees this and he's telling it. It's written down for posterity about what Epaphras does. Okay? That he had a what? A great zeal. It becomes a passion. And folks, our friendship should be a passion to help one another, to pray for one another. Our prayer life should be a passion. Our goal to spread the gospel should be a passion. Everything that we do for God should be, for Christ, should be a passion. Are we passionate people? Are we passionate people? The issue is what kind of a friend are we? And it says that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And folks, even in thick and thin, friends are still friends. Now, as we go on, what friends should do? What friends should do? And we'll close this out with another look at the friends that Paul is listing here in verses 14 through 18. One of these prayer requests we had for Deborah Smith, a lifelong friend of Donna. Okay, what makes a lifelong friend? You have common goals. You have common passions. You stay in touch. I made a lot of friends in my military career when we went from place to place, but a lot of those I've lost contact with because of moving so much. And if you were in the military, you would experience the same thing, or you move from place to place, you experience the same thing. But we still have friends that were with us, and now they're in a different city, and we still stay in contact. We're friends. Don't you yearn for their friendship? Don't you yearn for their advice? Those are what true friends say. That's what true friends should do. But then there are some people that call ourselves friends, and then you leave, and you leave them, and they have nothing to do with you. Anybody ever know people like that? Yeah, we all have people like that. Say they're friends, and then all of a sudden, when they're not getting their satisfaction, that they're gone, or something interferes with that relationship with you. So tonight we're going to talk about what friends should do, and the question and the statement is that Christian friends should make others feel like they belong. Christian friends should make others feel like they belong. So in verses 14 through 15 here, when you're a friend and you see one another or you talk to one another, you should greet one another. In verses 14 and 15 it says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you, okay? Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. So we see several people that Paul wants to have that share Paul's greetings. These are people that were with Paul and they're just kind of signing on to the letter saying, yep, we agree with everything, and we greet you too. And you know, it's interesting that as Christians, we have a fellowship and a bond with other Christians. Have you ever encountered that? You move into a new city and you go to a new church, and then all of a sudden there's someone that you can connect with. That's what we should do as Christians, is be able to connect with them. So there's several things. This word for greet and salute really is the same word. It's really the same word. But in verse 14, we have the tale of two greeters. The tale of two greeters. And we'll see who the true friend really was. The first one that's mentioned is Luke. And Paul writes here that Luke is the beloved physician. Why was Luke so beloved? Because Luke was beloved by God. And Paul was beloved by God. And when we're both in the same status with God, we're beloved with one another. He was beloved by Paul because Luke was beloved of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, going back a chapter, it says, Put on therefore as the elect of God. See, we have the same status. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, what gender you are, what color you are. If you are a child of God, you're beloved of God. And we should be beloved of each other. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and what? beloved. There are two conditions that we as Christians should be holy, and we should act like we are beloved, because we are. God loves us in spite of ourselves sometimes. Don't we love our kids in spite of some of the things they do? Absolutely. And so it's the same thing here. When we're unlovely, Christ still loves us. But God commended His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, or still sinning, Christ died for us. So Luke is the beloved physician because he was beloved of God. Because he had put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Now think of this. Luke is Paul's companion all through this. Luke writes the book of Acts. So he's the historian of the early church. How would you like to pick up from where you are and just go out to wherever to write about whatever, but for the one whoever? God. So that's Luke. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Folks, when we're beloved of God, we should be beloved of others because we have the characteristics of God. And some people you find it very easy to love. Some people you have to really work at it. You shouldn't have to work at, if you're a Christian, people shouldn't have to work at loving you. It should be a natural thing because we're beloved of God. So we have Luke here. He's beloved by Paul because he's beloved of God. And then he's beloved by Paul because of his faithfulness. And the second person in here is the contrast. Okay? Is the contrast. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is writing to Timothy, his mentor. We preached about him Sunday night. And how much of an influence that Paul was on him and he on Paul. In that mentor-mentoree relationship. But look at this. At the end, only Luke is with me. When you're a true friend to someone, at the last, when everybody else is gone, when all is forsaken, you're still there. That's who Christ is. No matter where we are, He's still there. Because we're beloved of God. And Paul looks at Luke and what he's given up and what he's doing for him, and it just naturally causes a yearning and a love for him. And then in the end, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. We talked about this last week. This is John Mark. So God can change people's direction. He changed Onesimus's direction. He changed John Mark's direction. He's changed every one of our us's direction that knows Christ. We were going the wrong way before we met Christ, and He's turned us around. And if we're all going in the same direction, we ought to be beloved. We are beloved of God, but beloved of one another. So Luke is in here. He says, Luke, the beloved physician, greets them. Common goal, common background, common experiences. But then there's another one. There's Demas. And one could argue that Demas was not a true friend to Paul, because Demas forsakes him. We see Demas three times in the Bible, and we're going to look at all these things. The first time that Paul mentions Demas is in Philemon 1:24. He's writing this letter, and he sends it to Onesimus, and then he sends Onesimus with him. And here he identifies Demas as a fellow laborer. Okay? And some Bible scholars sit there and say, over this period of time, it must have been that Paul knew something. Paul saw something in Demas that just didn't necessarily click. And folks, you can fool people for some period of time, but in the end, your true motivation is going to come out. And there's a lot of people that start out fine and then all of a sudden they go off. Remember the parable of the seed and the sower? There are some that falls on shallow ground. And because it's on shallow ground, it takes root quickly and springs up. But then what happens? The sun comes up and burns it away. Some people are shallow people, okay? And they don't become fruitful. Then we have the seed that was thrown among the thorns in Matthew 13. And the point is that it springs up, but the weeds and the thorns spring up and it chokes it out. It chokes out the good stuff and leaves the bad stuff and becomes unfruitful. Those first three soils are Christian in name only, because they don't bring forth fruit. The stony ground one doesn't do it. The shallow ground one doesn't do it. The one in the thorns don't do it. And you can play at being someone's friend for a while, but eventually your true colors will come out. And Demas is one of them. So he steps out and he keeps up an act. You know, Judas kept up an act. Had all the other 11 fooled. Even though Christ said, one of you is a devil. And even when Christ is going to be betrayed at the Last Supper, they're asking, is it me? Is it me? They don't know. And folks, we don't know at times. And hasn't it been that somebody you thought was going to be your friend turns out to be not a friend? So the first mention, we see him as a fellow laborer. The second mention we see here in verse 14, it just mentioned him by name. And if you take things literally and you start studying things, as well, why didn't he identify him as a fellow laborer here? Or he's now just an acquaintance. And there's a lot of people that we call friends that are really just acquaintances. They may be here for the short time, but then they don't last. So now Paul identifies him as an acquaintance. At first he identifies him as a fellow laborer, now an acquaintance. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, where we see the list of the same people, okay, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me. And here's the reason why. Having loved this present world. Hey, that was the interpretation of the parable of the seed and the soils. Okay? That the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. I don't know if Demas was saved or not. We'll find out when we get there. Okay? We'll find out to get there. But from Paul's perspective, it broke his heart. And folks, friends are supposed to be beloved to one another and not to break people's hearts. Now, I know the Proverbs say that faithful are the wounds of a friend. But that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about faithful are when a friend comes and confronts you with something that you need to fix in your life and you get it fixed and makes you better. Because as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the what? Countenance of his friend. See, Luke was like that. Luke was like that, but Demas, it just kind of starts out good and then falls away. And falls away. And we know a lot of people like that. We've encountered a lot of people in our life like that. They may come out in church, say, I want to do all these things, and then nothing happens. Nothing happens. Were they truly a friend? Were they truly beloved at the beginning? We can't make that judgment. All we can know is what we see. And so this upsets Paul. Here he is in prison, needing encouragement. and someone who was called his fellow laborer is not there anymore. And so Paul's left out to dry, so to speak. Having loved it, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Okay? Crescens to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Now, wait a second. There's some good guys in there too. But they left for other reasons. And the other thing is that Paul wanted to make it perfectly clear that Demas left for a different reason than all these other people left. So we have this tale of two greeters. There's one who is beloved by God and beloved by Paul and is a help and is there at the end. There's one that says they're your friend, but then over time that friendship kind of goes, or that thing you think is a friendship goes away, and then in the end they're not there. What do friends do? They stick with someone. What are we doing as friends? So we have the tale of two greeters. Friends greet one another. There's the greeting here in verse 15. And there's three things. It says, salute the brethren. To salute means to greet or to wish well. Remember, we're supposed to wish no ill on anyone. That is what love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So the greeting is to encourage fellow believers. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 21, the same word is used. Salute how many? Every saint in Christ Jesus. So if we're truly a friend of God, we'll wish well for everyone that's out of the household of God. We'll wish well for everyone who has a part in the ministry. And so you can't, just like James says, you can't bless God and curse someone with the same mouth. John says the same thing. He says if you got to love everybody, okay? You got to love everybody equally. God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. So we're supposed to encourage everyone who is a Christian, everyone that's going through the same struggles that we're going through, everyone that has a relationship with Christ. So every saint in Christ Jesus and the brethren which are with me salute you. So do you wish well for everybody in God's house? If not, you got a problem. You get it fixed tonight.
Amen.
Okay? You get it fixed tonight. Because we're beloved of God, or we're supposed to be. Okay? So, to encourage fellow believers. And then, to go beyond the church at Colossae. It says here, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. So we've seen this map before. Here is Colossae, where Paul never went. And here is Laodicea, and here is Hierapolis, which we've seen already in text in this thing. And he says, hey, this goes beyond just your little group of people. This goes beyond your little church. We're supposed to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. We're all part of the body of Christ. And it just doesn't mean that we're part of this church and we don't care about any other church. Better not be that way. I know of churches like that. So if you're not a member of our church, then you don't know God. I left that church. Okay? Because it's wrong. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. So we're supposed to encourage fellow believers and go beyond ourselves. Go beyond our small group of people that we always deal with. He says this is supposed to go to Laodicea. And then it goes on to a certain person. Now Nymphas, only mentioned here, but he's a wealthy man. Okay, he's a wealthy man so much that he uses his resources to start a church in his house. Okay? Do we use our resources to the glory of God? do we do things that we can bring about benefit and show the love of God and encourage fellow believers? This guy singled out here because he has a church in his house. And first of all, having a house then was a significant event. Having a house now is a significant event. But what do we use our resources for? Do we use our resources for us, or do we use our resources to benefit others, especially the household of faith? So these are the greetings. And so Paul and Luke and Demas are greeting these people, okay? And then he is telling everybody that reads this, salute the brethren, okay, which are in Laodicea. So he's telling the church at Colossae, hey, you help those, you greet the ones in Laodicea because we're all the same Savior. We're all the same Savior. So there is the tale of two greeters, and then there's the greeting. Friends, greet one another. Have you ever come, maybe to church, maybe to work, someone says hi and go, That's not acting beloved. That's not sharing a common bond. You know, this word for greet is also on all those verses that even David talked about tonight. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay? So we're supposed to basically wish well anyone who believes in Christ. So friends, greet one another. Okay? I missed the second point. Okay? Friends, encourage one another. Okay? This epistle. Okay? They share a common content. Okay? It says that when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou encourage. So friends should encourage one another, just not and greet one another, but encourage one another. And I apologize for not having the right title up there, okay? So how were they supposed to encourage one another? These letters were supposed to be shouted. Now, there's actually two letters here in verse 16. It says, and this epistle is read among you, okay? Cause that it be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that the letter that was written to the Laodiceans be read to you. You know, when you learn, you kind of share things, right? Okay, you share with one another, and you share encouragement with one another. So the letter, be sure, was this letter, and then a lot of Bible scholars think that the letter that Paul is talking about here to the one that was written to the Laodiceans, and then basically to be shared with the Colossians, was actually the letter to Ephesus. Okay? There's no proof of that, the letter to the Ephesians. Because in our map, Ephesus was just down the coast from where they were, along the same trade route. And so the letters to be shared was this. And then there's this encouragement sent to Archippus. Now, Archippus must have been the pastor of the church at Colossae, okay? He must have been the leader of the church at Colossae. And we need to understand that there's five responsibilities for Christian ministry. First of all, our responsibility in Christian ministry is a personal responsibility. Okay? He is singled out. Archippus is singled out here. And say, everyone who reads this letter and reads these other letters, bring it to him and bring it to his attention. Everything that people say, we get preached, we preach, or we encourage one another, we testify one another, ought to be brought to our attention. And that is a personal responsibility. The second one, it is a demanding responsibility. How many times have we heard somebody talk, and then at the end of the conversation, what'd you say? Or your wife or your husband says that, and you go, huh? Okay? And sometimes we hear what we want to hear, or we care to hear, and we don't hear anything else. Folks, when God's Word is concerned, we should hear every bit of it.
Right.
We should hear every bit of it. Okay? It says, say to Archippus, okay, take heed, or take care, or do what you're supposed to do, or listen to this. Okay? Don't be like the rest of the people. Listen to this. It's a demanding responsibility. It's one thing to hear the words. It's another thing to incorporate them into your life. And that's what we should do with God's Word. The third thing, it is a specific responsibility. Oftentimes, I think we deal in too many general things. And we need specifics. You know, if you said, if you go and you just draw a picture of a house and say, I want my house to look like that, and you don't give a thorough blueprint, probably not going to turn out right. Okay? And so what we need to understand is we need to understand the specific requirements that the Lord has given us. Every one of us who has been saved has been gifted. And we've all been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do some function in the church. And friends are supposed to share and encourage one another. And how many times have we gone where we feel all alone and isolated. We just wish that some friendly voice would talk to us. Or someone would come alongside of us and say, I just thought about talking to you today. I want to give you a word of encouragement. I want to just wish you well. And so Archippus here, he said, listen, you're singled out. Listen to what's being said here. And you need to do the ministry which you have received. That is a warning for all of us. That's an encouragement for all of us. We need to do the ministries that God has created us for. It might be teaching. It might be hospitality. It might be preaching. It might be mercy. We went through the spiritual gifts. We could find them in Romans 12. You could find them in Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians. You can find a list of those things. God's created us all for a special purpose. God's created us to be beloved. God's created us to be friends with one another. Are we doing what God has created us to do? We talked about Lois and Eunice Sunday night. And God created them. God created Lois to have Eunice and Eunice to have Timothy. And they shared the faith. And look at what happened in the end, Timothy, where we have letters that we're using right now. So it's a specific, it's a personal responsibility, it's a demanding responsibility, it's a specific responsibility, and then it's a spiritual responsibility. You know, we've already seen in Colossians chapter 3 that we're supposed to do all things heartily to the Lord. Our ministry comes from God. It's not ours. We just execute it. It's the Lord's. And so we need to do what God has given to us. He's given us a specific task. And so are we doing His task? Friends do tasks for others. Friends help out for others. And so if we're to be a friend of God, we need to do what God asks us to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then lastly, it's an objective responsibility. If we all did what God is telling us to do, think about this. If we all did what God is telling us to do, we'd be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, helping the right people, and encouraging one another. And we would not have to worry about what people think. Because we know deep in our heart that we're doing exactly what God made us to do. How many of us, and I'll raise my hand too, we start something and we don't finish it. We think we're doing something and we never get to the end. So the encouragement here, look, it's a personal responsibility. Take heed. It's going to cause effort. It takes your attention. You need to give heed to it. Do the thing that you were created to do. Do the ministry that God has created us to do. And you can only do that if you're working in the Lord and by His grace and by His power. And then the issue is, if we sell out to God, we will do it and we will fulfill it. So friends should encourage or share with one another, and then friends remember one another. Friends remember one another. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. The salutation by the hand of Paul, remember my bonds, grace be to you, with you, amen. See, Paul basically dictated his letters. The ones to the Galatians he wrote by himself. It may have been because he had poor eyesight or whatever the case may be, but he dictated this. So at the end, he signs off his letters himself. And so Paul remembers everybody, regardless of circumstances. You know, when we're by ourselves, do we forget our friends? When things are going well, do we forget our friends? You know, regardless of being good or bad, we need to remember why we're here and what we're doing and who our friends are. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes this. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, I am therewith to be content. Friends are friends no matter what the circumstances are. We've heard of fair weather friends, okay? Let's not be a fair weather friend. A friend is supposed to go through adversity, okay, with one. A friend's supposed to be encouragement. A friend's supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So regardless of circumstances, and then the word for grace is actually cherish. Okay, cherish, okay? And it means to help or to empower, okay? It's the same thing that we find in Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and what? Find grace, same word, find grace to what? Help in time of need. And we already know that God is the God of all grace. Okay? For by grace are ye saved through faith. By God's grace, I am what I am. And it's the grace that worketh in me. It's all these things. It's by God's grace. So, friends remember one another. Paul remembers them. He's never been there. He's never been there. But he has this bond because he believes and they believe. And he hears and he sees the testimony of people that come across his path, and he encourages one another. So friends, greet one another. Friends, share or encourage with one another. And friends, remember one another. My question tonight is, how are we friends to one another? Are we a friend like Luke? Or are we a friend like Demas? Do we listen to what is being told to us, like Paul writes to Archippus? Or do we just kind of blow it all off and say, I'm going to do my own thing regardless of what people tell me? Okay? Are you one to be remembered in a good sense, or be remembered? I don't want to be anywhere like that person. We should be remembered for who we are in Christ and what we do in Christ and for our testimony. So what kind of a friend are we? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation, Lord, search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.